here.
This is Kerrang Radio. I'm Louise Maloney and I'm joined in the studio by Duff McKagan and by Jeff Angel. Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's a real pleasure to have you here.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Jet-lagged again.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. You still perform well on a jet lag, I think. I just saw you guys do a live session.
Yes.
I'm allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, you can talk.
You can talk about the live session.
Okay, so you're here as part of Walking Papers. Mm-hmm. How did you guys hook up?
Well, Duff and I met in Seattle. I had a band called Postpartum Depression, and Duff had a couple bands you might have heard of in the past. And so, of course, I was, you know, starstruck, and we made fast friends. And
Were you starstruck?
Of course I was starstruck. I'm always, I'm kind of a starstruck kind of guy. I get starstruck by when my rock heroes drop out of heaven and come and pay visits to shows.
That's quite a statement, Duff. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, man, I went and saw his band, Postpartum Depression. It was like 2000. And they were the best living, breathing rock band on the planet. It was like them and Queens of the Stone Age. Like the rated R period Queens of the Stone Age.
Was this before Missionary Position?
Yeah. That was, this is around 2003, 2000, something like that. I played some shows with Barrett. Mm. He had a different band going on. I think his band was called Big High at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Never even knew that.
Yeah. He had a band. They made a record and it was really quick.
I love that Duff is learning here as well.
And so,
that's a great name for a band, actually. The Big High.
Yeah.
The Big High or Big High?
It's almost as good as Free Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Free Beer is the best band name ever made.
Yeah, but you'd probably lure people in for the wrong reasons.
Who cares as long as you get them there, you know? I played a show in Portland and Barrett was playing and then he invited me to come record some songs and we did and I invited the best bass player I know on the planet, Duff McKagan, and then we started tracking some stuff and then we didn't really have the biggest intentions except for trying to make some good music with some cool friends and the best players we knew and then because apparently if you play with this guy Duff and this other guy Barrett, all of a sudden everybody pays attention, which is pretty
really
awesome.
Shocking.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
It's really cool.
Let's talk a little bit about the whole world's watching. You've got a pretty cool guest appearance on that. Who is it?
Well, besides Duff McKagan and Barrett Martin, there's also this other guy that it's
this
like,
other dude,
this
who's
other young
cool
upstart,
too.
Mike McCready.
Of Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Of Pearl Jam. And the thing about that, like I've noticed like going out and touring and people sort of making a big deal about who's on the record. And Mike's killer. I mean, that guy is a touched, special guitar player. In Seattle, it's a really small musical community, and we're all friends. And we jam with each other. And not until, like, a record comes out, and then, of course, like, it gets out, like, oh, Mike's on the thing, and Barrett's on the thing, and Duff's on the thing, and that it...
And because, the word supergroup comes along, doesn't it?
Which is ridiculous. That part is really ridiculous. Like supergroup, in my, like in the 80s, I think that was the first time I heard the term supergroup. And it was that band Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that band? The video, and it was like the supergroup. And it, they actually marketed the thing as that. And it was guys from Yes and guys from.
So they marketed themselves as that. Okay.
They did. So, but now it's a kind of easy catchphrase, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And, but we're not, I don't know what a supergroup really is. They called Velvet Revolver a supergroup.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're in them.
Right, yeah.
They're any band that you're in. Haven't you figured this out yet?
But I'll take the group.
Yeah, yeah, that's the funny part of it. Like, they'll be like, are you a supergroup? And I'm like, well, we're not a soup.
So, yeah, that's our new thing.
This is Kerrang Radio. I'm in the studio with Duff McKagan and Jeff Angel. Going to be back just after this. Kerrang Radio. This is Kerrang Radio. I'm Louise Maloney. Duff and Jeff, they're still here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
We talked about you having Mike McCready on board with you guys. You also had Jack and Dino. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Jack and Dino.
Jack and Dino. Pretty sweet name.
It sounds like it's two guys, but it's actually one
guy. It's just one
dude.
It's
not a production team. It's actually one guy.
And he's Nirvana's producer.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have just gone for the best here, really, haven't you?
Again, he's like another Seattle.
A mate.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. And he's done a lot of great records. A lot of records you'd never heard of, too, that are great. And he just keeps producing and mixing records in Seattle. It's a lot of work.
And you guys were just there, and he was there, and it happened.
Well, yeah, and that, I think what the best thing, I mean, Jack and Dino's famous for being a producer and mixer and recorder guy, but a lot of people also don't know that he's also a therapist, a personal counselor, a...
soothsayer.
Yeah, soothsayer, shaman.
So you've already been nominated for a Classic Rock Roll of Honor.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you know that?
I heard something about some kind of voting thing, but I didn't, nominated sounded so much more
that
professional.
That sounds better.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
You can quote me on that if you want.
We are. I'm an award-winning musician. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people are aware of Duff's success, but
let's go.
I'm actually an award-winning guitar player.
Okay, let's go. Yeah. We want to hear the awards. Hit us.
I won the Young Authors Conference in third grade.
Whoa.
I did.
We're impressed. Look at Duff and I's face. Yeah.
I got an award for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm blown away right now.
I am.
I don't know you, but I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I feel. Kerrang Radio. I do have the word supergroup written here, but I'm just not going to talk about that.
Well, we told you already, we're not a supergroup.
Yeah. I would love to know, though, about Velvet Revolver and one specific experience you had with Live 8 nearly a decade ago.
With Live 8?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Ever tell you about that?
Uh-uh.
Right over here?
I love how we're all just sitting here having a chat, learning about each other.
I love how your shirt matches the desk, the wall, and the sign over there.
It's all part of my plan.
And the microphone.
And her eyes and the microphone.
Yeah.
They're green.
Oh, well, it matches blue. Okay, it's cool. Part of the primary color wheel.
It's not a square. It's
Live
a
Aid. Live Aid.
Live Aid. Live Aid. So we played. Yeah, Live Aid was amazing. Hyde Park right here. We were in the middle of a tour, and we were offered to play the Live Aid thing. It was Pink Floyd was coming back together, and Paul McCartney was playing. This is the London one, right? So I think there was 8 concerts around the world, right? And Madonna played here, and
I gotta ask you,
the
though,
Who,
if Pink Floyd was playing, so did you guys not do your cover of Money that night, or did you actually do it? Because that
we did not. No, we only played 3 songs. I think everybody just played like 3 songs, something like that. But so we get to this big backstage. Was stunning. It was even for like guy like me who's seen stuff. But Madonna had like a 80 people in her entourage, and they came through. Everybody had to clear out of the way, and we didn't really care. Like, oh, really? We got to clear out of the way? Why? What are we going to do? We're going to do
like a cost tour or something.
Yeah, we're going to. But even like the Who guys had like cleared out of the way. I think. But anyhow, it was,
even the Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nobody even knows who they are.
The Who jumped out of the way for Madonna.
So Madonna's security guy came up to Roger.
Strike a pose. He said, Roger Daltrey, strike a pose.
No, he said, who are you? No, he didn't. But playing that show, right before we played, we did a bunch of press while we were back behind the stage. And then somebody said, they had a microphone up to me, and they said, so how does it feel to about to play to 1 billion people? And there's 250,000 at Hyde Park, but because people are watching on the internet. And that really freaked me out. Billion people? I don't even know what that means. That's a third of the, I don't know how many people are.
It's just hard to quantify, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And then we go up on the stage, and Paul McCartney's on the stage, and he comes up to me. He says, hey, Duff, have a great show. So I'm not just like freaked out about the billion people, but Paul, a Beatle, like knew my f-ing name. I don't even know how that.
Wow.
So then I had to play. Like suddenly, like the bass was going on me as I'm shaking his hand. Have a good show. And then you go out on the stage. But it was amazing experience.
Surely that was the best adrenaline kick ever for Paul McCartney to go, Duff, have a good show.
Well, my name's not Shirley, as you just noted, it's Duff.
Yeah, I mean, even Paul McCartney knows his name's Duff.
I feel like such a fool. I can't let you guys go without
ever.
Talking. Ever. I'm not letting you go. That's it. You're mine now. I can't let you guys go, though, by telling, well, mainly you, Duff. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Appetite for Destruction was one of my first albums. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was just, you know, it was a really big Formation album for me. Do you ever tire of hearing about it?
I tire.
Or do you have all of this all the time? Me going, Appetite for Destruction, it was amazing.
No, not enough to where it's, I don't know if it'd ever be a bother because I have those records in my collection, like Raw Power by the Stooges, that means so much to me that I could talk about every day. And or Prince 1999 or something. And so I understand how like that record has affected a lot of people. A lot of people talk about it. And so I'm pretty thankful about that for sure. It was, you know, it was a really cool time of 5 guys who really learned to write music songs together. And we made the record we wanted to make, and it obviously hit a bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm certainly one of them.
Yeah, I'm glad he doesn't get tired of it because I ask him questions all the time.
Do you?
I've actually gotten some personal tours in Hollywood before of like where the apartments that they lived in and where the practice room are and stuff, I still get a big thrill out of it.
You probably you get some extra stories that I do.
I get extra little stories.
Give me one.
No, no. Oh, I can't.
Just one.
No.
Is Slash as goddamn cool as he looks?
He's a cool dude. Mm. Yeah, he's just kind of he's reserved.
Mm. He seems it. He just stays under the hat and plays some deadly guitar.
Yeah.
I like
and he plays guitar every day.
Still.
To this day.
Really?
Yeah, like plays it hours on end. Kerrang! Kerrang Radio.